The devil is real. Just ask Jesus. He talked about him and to him. He fought him and he beat him. I'm Brian Patrick, and as we continue our series here on Crossing the Goal on spiritual warfare, the devil is our topic, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're talking about the devil this time on Crossing the Goal as we kick off this latest in our series on spiritual warfare. Our Crossing the Goal team is Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and former NFL All-Star wide receiver and former NFL coach Danny Abramowitz. The devil made me do it, Danny. You know, people just don't believe this guy is real, but you know, he doesn't have pitchfork and a tail, but he's real.
You know, many people don't believe in the devil or the evil one, and they don't realize that he is a murderer, a thief, a liar, the great deceiver. And Scripture's pointed out very vividly in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who they called the what? Devil or Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him.
You know, we're living in a time in society where we say, well, we've kind of grown up beyond all that stuff. That's that fairy tale stuff. We're educated now. Science has disproven the existence of God and of the devil and all that kind of stuff. But we're here to say that the devil is real. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil.
That's important to see. The Bible takes the devil very seriously. The church has always taught that there's a devil. This is very important for us to see this and to recognize, Brian, as you said, the mischaracterizations don't help, that there's this almost cute little red guy with a pitchfork. This is not an ugly, a spectacularly beautiful but terrible reality that we have to recognize. He has an ugliness in him, but he woos us by attracting us. He's an angel of light who attracts us to created goods and then uses that attraction to distract us from the uncreated good, God, and destroys us. So we have to recognize the way that he works. He works in a very devious way. Listen to the first temptation. This is what Eve saw. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Those are three good things. Problem is, it was a forbidden fruit. Yeah.
Cunning and baffling that devil is. We need a good game plan to counter his tactics. We have one with Peter and Curtis next here on Crossing the Goal.
Oh no, the devil's real, and he's crouching and he's waiting for us.
I mean, I think money, you know, is the root of all evil, as they like to say, and I think the devil is there. There's the temptation. You know, people are this false sense with money. They can have everything. I mean, money is nice, but are you going to lose your soul over money? And I think as men, we in groups, we need to, you know, fight back. We need to understand, yes, we need money to survive, but there are other things that are more important. Our soul is in the ultimate end on that final judgment day. That's what it's all about.
We're back. We're walking through spiritual warfare, and the topic is the devil. I'm Curtis Martin with Focus, and this is Peter Herbeck with Renewal Ministries. Peter, what exactly are we supposed to, we know there was a devil, but what are we supposed to think about him?
Well, Paul VI took some time to remind us, you know, he wanted to address this problem because so many people deny the existence of the devil, and it's a big mistake to do it. Listen to this. He says, he's speaking in the papal we. What are the church's greatest needs at the present time? Don't be surprised at our answer. Don't write it off as simplistic or even superstitious. One of the church's greatest needs is to be defended against the evil we call the devil. The devil is at the origin of mankind's first misfortune. The fall of Adam gave the devil a certain dominion over man. The devil is the number one enemy, the preeminent tempter. So we know that this dark, disturbing being exists and that he is still at work with his treacherous cunning. He's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortunes in human history. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with his lies. He is the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, the libido, through utopian logic, or through disordered social context in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to our physical and mental makeup or to our profound instinctive aspirations.
So I'm hearing the Pope believes in the devil.
Yeah.
Jesus believes in the devil. The church, the Bible. I mean, so we this is a very clear wake-up call. But we there's another extreme. We can go from, well, I don't know if there's a devil. That's kind of old-fashioned, to, oh, my goodness, there's a devil, and get totally preoccupied. And where's the balance in all this?
Well, orthodoxy is always right in the middle. It's that unique balance, you know. And I think most people today are denying his existence. But it's interesting, as the world's becoming more secular and God is being pushed to the margins, there's a lot of superstition that's rising again, because we're spiritual creatures. And the devil's desire is to, as you read a couple of weeks ago, the Pope said, as God is being pushed to the margins of life more and more, it gets darker and darker, we lose our bearings. But we're spiritual people, so we reach out. That's where the devil wants to come in and seduce us and to enslave us.
Now, and where we need a clear proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I think is where we find the virtue in the middle, where we can recognize the devil's a powerful foe. He's a terrifying foe. But we actually have access to a greater power source in the person, the persons of the Blessed Trinity. And so we have to recognize that if we are close to God, we can navigate this world and avoid his temptations. We can recognize that we need to resist him, that when you do resist him in the power of the Holy Spirit, he flees.
Right.
But if you show cowardice before him, he attacks.
It's so important to be able to stand with confidence. Anybody who's baptized and is a believer in Jesus Christ does not have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear him. And there's nothing to fear because we're standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:13, one of my favorite passages. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside by nailing it on the cross. He disarmed the principalities and the powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them with his cross. He's broken the powers of the devil. And the devil is a little bit like, what he does is he thrives on weakness. He circles, he looks for weakness. If we look timid and afraid and weak, he'll jump all over us. But Peter says, resist the devil. Stand up in the strength that you have in Christ Jesus. And what happens? He will flee.
So who is this guy? Christianity doesn't teach a dualism that the devil's the opposite of God. Yeah. So who exactly is he?
The devil's a creature. The devil was Lucifer, you know, one of the highest of the angels, but he's just a creature. He's not God's equal and opposite. He's a creature. God has infinite more power than the devil himself. And so we should never put the two like on equal and opposite, you know, sides.
No, it's so important that we do, because otherwise you fall into all kinds of troubles. And that's where we have to recognize this is the power of Christianity, that our capacity to triumph is not, oh, we can win a close game. No, when Christ shows up, when God shows up, he is light. Light dispels darkness. Darkness is not the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. Yeah. When light shows up, darkness is gone.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true with the power of God. When God is there, when godliness is there, then evil and the evil one have to flee.
And so often in the scriptures, and the church keeps exhorting us, don't forget who you are. Don't forget the strength that you have. You've been given not a spirit of fear and a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control.
And these are truths about the devil. We have to recognize one other truth. He's a liar, and so he will try to get us to believe other things about him, that he's still in control, that he can still call the shots. And so we will find old habits coming back, old temptations welling back up, and we'll think, oh no, because I've fallen in this way so many times before, I'm destined to fall again because the devil's somehow in control. He's not. We need to be able to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, make recourse to the sacraments, particularly recognizing the dignity as baptized Christians, but also the dignity we have in the Eucharist and in confession, and recognize the life of prayer and the power of the church, we can triumph.
Amen. We've come now kind of full circle. We've looked at the unholy trinity that's set against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus Christ has destroyed those powers and set us free.
Those are our foes in the spiritual battle. Amen. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter, for the good game plan. And Coach, Curtis talked about the devil being the big liar, and the big lie that he really wants us to buy into is that he doesn't exist.
Yeah, and we're going to expose him for what he really is, a liar and a thief.
That's in the Red Zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Well, the devil is indeed a force to deal with, and that's what we're talking about this time on Crossing the Goal. We are in the red zone. And Peter, the devil is really patient, just waiting and waiting for that opportunity.
Yeah, he looks for a place to kind of get in. You know, Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me. And what he wants to teach us to do is to not give the devil a foothold, yeah, a way in, an access point. And he does it, the devil, we give the devil an access point when we exercise our freedom and we say yes to sin, like say to pornography, or even to the occult. You know, I was just hearing, talking to a parent the other day in high school, it's become a kind of a popular thing to do Ouija boards again. Well, these are access, this gives the devil access to come and squat on a land that Jesus Christ has won for us if we're baptized. But we can give it up. We can give up that land if we play with sin and play with darkness.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about how, you know, maybe people don't believe there is a devil. I think this is a more practical example of how people don't. Because you talk to young people about this and sometimes they'll say, well, I don't see the big deal. Or our tarot cards, or palm readers, or whatever, any of these occult practices, which the church very clearly says are dangerous. They're not healthy, they should be avoided. And to say, well, I don't see the big deal, the fact that you don't see the big deal is already a problem.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is trust the wisdom of the church and stay away from these things.
You know, we've talked about these various devices and how cunning he is and what he uses to try to entrap us into the thing, into sin. And he's a competitor. He works 24/7. No vacations. But the biggest thing we must realize is, what is he trying to accomplish? He's after our souls, mm-hmm, all of our children's souls, mm-hmm, for final, total damnation, eternal, forever and ever. We have to realize that this isn't some game. This show, there isn't a lot of smiling on this show. This is serious business.
Yeah.
This is we have to understand what's at stake here.
And every dad out there needs to know that God has given you authority.
Right.
To have authority over your family, to be a blanket, to be a covering, to be an authority if you're in the Lord, and every day to fight for your kids. And, you know, one of the ways the devil has access to our children is when we're messing around. You know what I mean? When we're not taking our role seriously and we're running around. You for years you've talked about, you know, all those drinking bouts and all that kind of stuff, or times in my own life where I've kind of opened the door and I haven't paid attention. Well, you know what? It's like an umbrella, and there's a hole in the umbrella that we create because we give the devil access, and he can shoot through those holes to go after our families.
You know, a lot of guys will say, well, you're right, but I'm doing some other things. I'm busy right now, or not taking it serious. We think we're playing some kind of a game here. The Saints and the Colts played in the Super Bowl. That's a game. The Colts lost. Go ahead, Saints.
Yeah.
But the Colts lost, but they get to come back next year.
Yeah.
In the battle we have here in spiritual warfare with the devil, there's only one. There's one game. And when it's ended, you're going to one or two places. It's heaven or hell. We have the choice. No, it's not God. We're the ones who make the decision.
Okay. So the guy listening says, he knows the command, resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? He'll flee. If we want to make, how do we resist him?
Well, I actually heard a beautiful homily from a wise Dominican priest who was talking about exorcism. But he says there's almost a form of self-exorcism in the sense that when you feel the presence of the devil, we can speak the name of Jesus out loud,
right,
and say,
yeah,
in the name of Jesus, I command you to go back where you belong. Yeah. I tried that. I've tried it a number of times. It works. I mean, Jesus' name is really powerful.
Amen, brother.
I agree with you. Jesus, I use Mary, Joseph, saints. I mean, just pray, Lord, come into my, I don't want this, help me, please help me. If you say, please help me, what's he going to say? No, I'm not going to help you. Yeah. He is going to come every time to help you in that kind of a situation.
Got to call on him.
If you try to fight this, like you were saying, on your own, you're in for a heck of a battle.
Yeah. And the other part about resisting is you got to resist with your feet. You got to flee temptation.
Flee.
You got to get out of the situation. To sit in battle, particularly if we're talking about sins of the flesh, temptations towards sins of the flesh, we're told by St. Philip Neri that in that battle, only the cowards win. You got to run if you want to win. We just got to get ourselves out of those situations. We're a fool to try to stick in fighting those situations. So the fight is to call to our Lord and our Lady and then to remove ourselves from the near occasion.
And the number one, you mentioned it, Brian, the number one attribute of the devil is patience. He'll wait 20, 30, 40 years. You've seen people, I've seen holy people their whole lives,
mm-hmm,
and fall, been great, and just dropped the guard, got away from prayer, got away from the sacraments, got away from confession, got away from the Lord. got caught up in the world.
Yeah.
That's what the devil wants to do. He'll wait. He's got nothing but time on his hands.
You know, there's a bone chilling character.
Yeah. You know, he's a complicated. The book of Job, he actually goes in God's presence and talks to God about Job and gets God's permission to go get Job or get his stuff and his family.
Yeah, God had a larger plan. The devil always bites his tail. Never forget. That's like the scripture says, if the devil would have known what God had planned on Calvary and his son Jesus, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. He did the one thing he never should have done.
Exactly.
He spilled the blood that cut his throat is what he did. And the Son of God duped him. Jesus drew him in. The devil thought it was his greatest victory. The Son of God said yes to the Father on that cross. The devil's dancing, thinking he won the battle. He did the one thing he never should have done, is spill the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that it broke all the powers of darkness.
You know what's amazing about that? If you read Luke 4, 1 to 11, talk about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus was tempted by the devil, right?
Directly.
But did he go out there by himself? No, who do you have with him? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, that's what we call him, on the Holy Spirit. And show him, the devil knew he was God. It's not like he didn't know. He says, I know Jesus. He quoted him scriptures and everything. And at the end, you know, it was really chilling and scary. He says, the devil, of course, did not win. But he did say, I will be back at a more opportune time.
Yeah.
So if he tempted Jesus, knowing he was God, what do you think he's going to do to us on a daily basis?
Yeah. Some nerve. Can you imagine saying to Jesus, okay, I didn't get you this time, but I'll be back.
Yeah,
but we got to bring the Holy Spirit with us.
Yeah.
We got to always call upon the Holy Spirit.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I think we were saying earlier, how do we resist the devil? One of the ways we do that is we come clean about our lives. You know, one of the things we want to do sometimes is hang on to our favorite sins, our pet sins. We want to get serious about a lot of things, but we want to hang on to the sins that we like the most because we're afraid to live without them. You got to come clean.
Get rid of them, but not right now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, what is Augustine's line? You know, I want to be chased, but not now, or whatever, something like that. You know,
not yet. That's the devil. Not yet.
I mean, I felt dead before heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
We've all been there.
That's where the devil gets us, because we're messing around with it. But we just have to be decisive and say, Lord, you show me what you want me to let go of, and I'll do it. And that usually that means is go talk to a priest and talk to some brothers and say, guys, this is really where my life's at. This is where I've been living. This is the sin I've been hanging on to. And prayer makes such a big difference.
Sin becomes such a cycle. I mean, you can start out little, but it becomes this cycle that just grows and grows until it's mortal and grievous. And the only way to cut that off is to break the cycle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do we have a minute? Can we just pray?
Yeah,
a little bit. Let's just pray, you guys. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I know we're praying right now for every brother, every sister that's watching the program. Some of you just feel like you're in bondage. Maybe you've been messing with the occult. Maybe you're in bondage to pornography or something. I want you to stand with us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You can pray. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit that's set against me, every strategy of the enemy, to be gone. I break your power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
I stand as a baptized Catholic. I stand as a Christian. If you don't know the Lord, give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Don't mess with the enemy. You can offer your life to him. So we're going to pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you've won every victory. On the cross, you've disarmed the principalities and powers. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to pour out your Holy Spirit on everyone who's listening and bring the freedom of the sons and daughters of God and break the power and the chains of the devil. Mother Mary, you stepped on the head of the serpent, and we ask for your intercession, the intercession of all the saints and all the angels, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Powerful prayer, and that's really one way to counter the devil's tactics.
Absolutely.
Calling on Mary especially. We're going to have the last word from the end zone coming up next. Also, we're going to go into our email bag for Crossing the Goal, so stay with us.
Well, I think that the devil gets in, you know, to my life by just me focusing on my life as opposed to what God would have me do and what God has planned for me. I get focused on myself, you know, make myself the center instead of him, and that's it's a source of distraction, and it just keeps me from getting closer to him and listening to him and hearing and seeing what he wants me to see and doing what he wants me to do.
We'll be right back.
Before we get the last word on the devil, and believe me, we're going to get the last word, we have the email bag to look at. A question from Connecticut from Tony, who writes, I am a believing Christian, raised Catholic. I returned to the Catholic Church at the peak of the pedophile scandals. He says, the church's way of dealing with this greatly troubled me to the point where I cannot return. That said, how do you personally, as Catholics, reconcile these issues?
Well, first of all, Tony, say it is troubling, and it was shameful how it was handled in different ways. But remember this, that the church is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners, for broken people, who Jesus Christ is saving. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. This is a passage that's been going through my mind. The discipline of the Lord has come on the church. The Lord's exposing the sin because he's going to purify it, and he's going to cleanse it, and he's going to make his bride holy. This is his bride. There's no other place to go. This is his church. This is who he's got. This is who the Lord has called. So,
Tony, I think you're reading the right facts, but I think you're coming to the wrong conclusions. And I'm with you. There's a scandal, and it was terrible. But let's look at this for a second. We call it a priest scandal, which would mean that most of the priests were guilty, and they weren't. A small percentage were. Or that it was a pedophile scandal, which would mean that most of the victims were young children, and it wasn't. This, Tony, is a homosexual scandal. And homosexuality is spinning out of control in our culture, and it is scandalous in our public schools, in many, many places. Judgments come first to the church, but this is a call to conversion and purity, not to hate people we disagree with, not to hate homosexuals, but to call all men and women to healing in Jesus Christ, and the church is the place for that to occur.
All right, Coach, a question for you from Midland, Texas. Ronaldo writes, I'm wanting to start a men's group. I kind of want it to look like yours, but a little smaller. Any suggestions?
Yes, Ronaldo, you're not the only one wanted to start a group, and many of them have started out there in parishes and in their homes and whatever. Why don't you contact us at our website and give your contact information, and we'll have someone get in touch with you.
All right, you can always visit our website, too, for our resources, such as Danny's spiritual workout of a former saint, and we've got playbooks now on the Our Father and the Virtues, along with DVD packs that go along together. A lot of groups are using these as resources for their small groups. Right now, though, the last word on the devil as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, starting out with Peter.
Maybe watching the program, you've realized, you know, I haven't been in the fight as deeply as I should be. I haven't taken this so seriously. Tonight, don't condemn yourself. Get on your knees tonight and speak from your heart and tell the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I want in. I want to take the role that you've given me. Help me, empower me with your Holy Spirit, and he'll do just that.
This kind of concludes a little section where we've looked at spiritual warfare from the 10,000-foot level and now the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're kind of concluding this thought, and the opportunity is to pick sides. Which side do you want to be on? This is what the scriptures say. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It's time, in the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, to plant the flag and to choose to live for Christ. We can do that today. Please do.
You know, we've covered a lot of stuff here, and it might seem overwhelming, but I want you to listen to me very carefully here. We have God up here. He's the creator. We have us down here as a creature. There's a bigger being than us, the devil, who's in between. You want to whip him every time? I mean, every single time? Go to Jesus. Call on Jesus, and he'll protect you all the time.
Great point, Coach. And the good news is when you choose God's side, you get to put on his armor. That'll be the subject of our next Crossing the Goal. For Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, and our coach, Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We'll see you next time here on Crossing the Goal.
There we go. Well, that's why.